But I had this idea that I really wanted to teach on. It's sort of, once in a while, I know I've talked to you before about keeping a diary, right? Who keeps a diary? Nobody. Thanks, the girl I see. Kelly's diary.
Okay.
Yeah, get some money.
I used to keep a journal, but I haven't.
A journal, it's always a good idea.
I mean,
if for no other reason, then it helps you to really sort of look back and you can see something's getting rebuilt. You know, the frustration is every week. You hear the praises and you hear the prayers, and then you don't hear a follow-up necessarily, right? But it helps you keep tabs on the blessings, if nothing else. So I just looked back, and I was looking through this diary that I've been keeping. And I really wanted to sort of do a little bit of a different format. Do you ever take the education classes, Steph? No. They teach you a method of teaching Bible study, which I think I was talking about before. It's hook, book, look, and took. You know, because the one thing about Bible study is it's often a very free-form thing. But Bible study, we should be studying it intently and intelligently, right? But, you know, the thing about spending time in the Bible is you can read it, but you have to think on it. You have to dwell in it, right? You have to abide. You have to abide in it, spend time. Because, okay, how many of, for those who read the Bible every day, see a show of hands, who read the Bible every day? Good. That's good, Teresa. But how much time do you spend on it?
Well, I found the real key for me is I got the Bible on DVD, and Alexander Scorby reads it, so...
Who's reading it?
Alexander Scorby. It's a King James. Yeah. It's a King James.
I don't know that I know that.
But he's passed away now, but he was real famous about doing that. And I just... And they show the verses on the screen as he's reading it. So
that's good. Yeah. You follow along.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, if you get in the habit of reading the Bible every day, not something you necessarily even do in seminary. I'm just saying, right? Right, Shannon, fairly good around reading the Bible every day, even in seminary. But it's that spending the time, not just plowing through it, checking off the list and going on to something else. Because I find, even though, you know, I'm blessed to have you, we get up now, we have a cup of coffee, Pastor and I, and we read our Bible, but then we end up, you know, talking about something we saw on the news, or it's like, no, you're supposed to be abiding, abide, abide, abide. So I found a cool thing, for those of you with smartphones. Most everybody's got a smartphone now, don't we?
I got a dumb one.
Well, if you have a computer, you could also do it. You don't need a smartphone. It's just, it's with you. There's something called YouVersion. YouVersion.
Yeah, I've heard that. Did
anybody ever use it? It's just it's a neat source for a lot of devotional type of things, or if you want to read the Bible in a year. How many people have read the whole Bible cover to cover? Show of hands. Yay. Okay, for the rest of y'all. You need to be doing it every day. And the thing is, start on the first, you can work it through. And you can do that with one of these programs because it splits it up. Okay, there's a really cool one, and I've done it a couple times now. Because even when I was in seminary 10 years ago, I didn't necessarily read the Bible every day. or read the Bible, you eventually get through the whole thing. A very cool one, it's called For the Love of God. And it's just a read through the Bible in a year program. But the cool thing about it is, it will have Old Testament, it will have New Testament, it will have Psalms, it will have Proverbs. Now, of course, the Old Testament's really, really long, and the New Testament's a little shorter, and then Psalms and Proverbs. So you end up, even in a year's time, reading through the Psalms more than once, right? Because if you're reading them every day, you're like, 365 days, and there's only so many Psalms, and there's only 30 Proverbs, you know, you get the repetition. But the cool thing about this particular program is that it has a daily devotional. A daily devotional. Because you're not only going, okay, God, Exodus, New Testament, okay, we're going to read the book of John. Okay. Because I find that I'm just checking off a list, but did I really read it? Did I really read it? And to do that, you really have to spend time, like in the devotion. How many people do a devotional?
Oh, I do not.
Yes, Chris. Very helpful, isn't it? Just the focus. On your phone is great, because the phones go with us everywhere, right? Yeah. And when you have a minute, and you're sitting in the doctor's office, what happens? You pop it out, and you can be doing something.
Yes.
Other than being on Facebook, like, all the time, right? So the cool thing that we did, or had to do in seminary, I don't know that this was necessarily just part of Christian Ed, but have you had a class, I'm wanting to say it's with Dr. Allen, and you had to keep a diary? No, neither. Yeah? And tell a little bit about how you did that. Are you doing that now?
I'm not.
But you did it.
It was good when I did it. So he had to read,
good, wasn't
like,
it?
Three chapters, mm-hmm.
right,
or so, and then out of that you would pick like a 3 to 5 verses that kind of made you think, or that you wanted to think about more. So then you would go back and read those verses, and then you would just journal anything about it. So it encouraged you, or it challenged
okay.
you.
Music.
Or a prayer. Yeah, so it was just a...
I thought God was coming. No, it was just a cell phone.
Sorry.
Maybe next time. Oh, it's
with you. It wasn't me, y'all.
For once, it was Molly. But, yeah. You do a segment, and then you go back and you pick out 3 to 5 verses, which I remember he called a pericope. They still call it that. Yeah. A pericope. I just like saying pericope. But just when I was anticipating that I would have to do a Bible study, not realizing that Easter was going to fall on our, you know, on the Sunday that we were up, I went back through a diary. And I had an entry on March 23rd of 08. Which was Easter Sunday, you know, sometimes it can be really, really early. Mm-hmm. That happened to be one of those years. And that was an interesting time because I had graduated in 07 and I went to work for Johnny and Friends, and that opportunity ended by the end of 07. And so in 08, we sort of found ourselves, I don't know, available on Sundays. You know, I mean, we weren't really going. I mean, we just sort of like, what do we do now? What do we do now? So I remember, I have that here, and that's part of the Bible study, or the devotional today, is sharing with you that diary entry. And I got to really think a little bit about, and you know, it's being a little premature, because Easter's not till next Sunday, but I think we need to be always focusing on the single most important thing that happened in the Bible. You know, the birth, you know, we love the birth and the gifts and Christmas, but it's the death, right? The resurrection.
Yes, the end.
That's the one.
Yes.
That's the one. Because he could have been born if everything else hadn't happened. We'd still be where we are, or where we were before he came. I don't want to go back there. Okay, so, I should have put it up on the... Did I put that verse up on the screen, beloved?
No.
Darn.
Yes.
Once you go to death, you go to living.
I'm going to focus on this right now. Okay, but I will speak to you about your pressing question. But the passage that I really wanted to read, I should have put it on the screen. I guess I'm going to have somebody help me with it, because it's more than a little pericope. So maybe Shannon, I should have your Bible. I'm listing Shannon. Maybe somebody else wants to read. I'm going to go into the book of John. Book of John in the 20th chapter, and we're reading 11 through 18. Now mine, which is probably the one you're using too because you're going to seminary, is the New American Standard. Yes. Do not use the
New American Standard.
I know they sort of, that's their Bible, but everybody has, you know, it's all good, right? But everybody has their preferred translation.
But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so, as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her.
Amen. That's sort of a long passage, but I think it's, we're going to look, because it's a devotional we're doing today. And just a couple of observations. This is basically what a devotion does, is it allows you to look at a scripture or a passage, and then maybe something you didn't know about that. Okay. One of the observations that I have from this. You don't really realize how incredible, that's not even a good word, the fact that the Lord used a woman, to be one amongst the first to see the Lord risen. Why that is so important is in that culture, a woman had no standing. She could not even, her testimony wouldn't count at a trial. Women were just basically possessions. And so the Lord chose not a man, but a woman to present himself to a woman. That's really an incredible thing. And I'm sure you probably have an opportunity to do papers on that. Doing a paper on Mary Magdalene is an awesome thing if you ever get the chance. But women in general, just didn't really have the standing. And if the husband took his wife to them, he could say, "We're divorced," three times or whatever, and you're on your own.
Would you say second class citizens?
Even second class.
Read
that. Oh my gosh. The resurrected Lord presents himself to a woman. That's incredible. That's one observation. Yes.
Do you think it's because it was that woman
that came first. The disciples didn't know.
They were hiding.
But this woman wanted to do this. So I think when you make yourself available, Jesus will use you, whether you're a woman, a child, a man. I believe that's why God used her, and I think it works as an example to just be ready to be there.
That's these are very devotional. It's been a long journey. Yes.
Isn't she also the one who he performed the miracle on? Am I? Okay.
Mary Magdalene was a paperer. She
a woman of the world.
A woman of the world. A woman of the
street.
She is literally lives a rough life.
She had changed.
She had had a rough life. But then from the Lord, and we believe it's Mary Magdalene. I don't think it's necessarily named the woman who came up with the alabaster jar and washed the feet.
Oh, it didn't say.
I don't think it was specific that it was Mary Magdalene, but I think we believe it is this kind of.
We assumed it.
When she was at the tomb, did they assume that was also Mary Magdalene?
Yeah, it does say Mary Magdalene.
Okay. I wasn't sure I didn't remember.
Because it was Mother Mary, right, and Mary Magdalene. And there was a third one.
Lazarus' sister.
Yes. So we're having a great devotional. Thanks, y'all helped me out here. The second observation for devotional purposes is that this passage is not one of the synoptic gospels. It's in the book of John. Okay, for you, or maybe not seminary students. Okay, seminary students, since we got two here. What are the synoptic gospels? Not all at once, then. What are the synoptic gospels?
The other three. Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I mean, there's four basic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But John's not considered part of it because it's different. It's just so different. They set it apart and don't really group it in that way. Although it's going over the same material, but in a different way. And for John, who doesn't go on and on like some of the other authors, he really wrote a lot, didn't he, in that passage? A lot of detail, very unique that it's in the book of John. But it had a very deep personal significance for me, and I guess I was reflecting on this on Easter Sunday 9 years ago.
Oh my God,
9 years ago already. So here's my diary entry. I want to share with you. Keep on time, too. He is risen. He is risen. Thank heaven he is risen. Because like dozing disciples, we slept in.
Beloved and I slept in.
Having worship Friday evening, I wanted to qualify that. We did worship. But we went to a church where they had a Friday night service. We have to do it on Sunday. Having worshipped Friday evening and risen early Saturday morning to attend the autism info session at Chase Oaks, which is where we were going, I now have the luxury of doing a little long overdue Bible study. This morning I searched the Gospels. I, like the woman at the tomb, searched in vain for the passage about Mary Magdalene and her encounter with the risen Lord, which we just read. It's got to be in Luke. You ever know, this woman just has graduated from seminary and I didn't know where it was. Please. Okay. It's got to be in Luke, the most beautiful. Or Matthew, the most thorough. Nope. Okay. Then what about Mark? That's a book I didn't even chart. I know you do a lot of Bible charts when you're in seminary. Again, not John? Could it possibly be in the book of John? the most Spartan of the Gospels? Yes. Mm-hmm. For even though John was all business about everything else, he waxed almost poetic with detail about Mary Magdalene's encounter with our risen Lord. Or did he say, I focus on one word he said to her, Mary. Mary. Don't you always wonder how he said that? Mary. I remember waking up in my bed. I'm sure that's right about to cry. I remember waking up in my bedroom on Monticello. I lived in a house in the M Streets. I had a house on Monticello. I remember waking up in my bedroom on Monticello to what appeared to be the sound of my own father's voice, simply saying my name, just like that, Linda. Linda, I remember him saying that. Oh, what would I give for just one more hug? To smell that musty essence that was my daddy-o. For all the volumes written about Jesus, who he knows the sweetest sound is simply his name, spoken with tenderness, with the same tender sweetness one day. He will speak our names. My child, welcome home. So the last observation, just because we're doing a little bit of a devotional format, is this. I am currently through reading the Bible in the book of Leviticus, and I know we've done a Bible study on it. But basically, for those of you who've read the book of Leviticus, sort of describe in one word, what is the book of Leviticus like? Or what's it about?
Elective?
I'm looking for the seminary students.
It's the law?
It's the law. It's going over the law. It's a bunch of laws. You shall do this, you will do that, you won't do this, you will do that. It's steeped in ritual. Okay? And throughout, if you read it, and I didn't put a passage in here, but it was the way you connected with God before Jesus. And just simply connecting with God was a bloody mess, wasn't it? Because what, Pastor, what had to happen for you to connect with God? Somebody had to die. An animal. And then they talk about spraying the blood and sprinkling the blood and putting it on the door. And you're like, oh my gosh. This is a very impersonal way of dealing with a holy God. But because he is so holy, that's the only way that he can do that. But in the New Testament, because, thank God, we do have a Savior, and thank God he did give his blood for us, we can have a personal relationship. So it's based on relationship, not rituals. So this Easter Sunday, just, you know, I urge you to start something new. Take full advantage of the fact that you have this personal relationship and to really treasure it and spend time and fun with the Lord in whatever way that is, whether it's reading or whether it's, you know, journaling. Take advantage of this awesome gift that you've been given.
Even singing.
So I'm just going to wrap it up with a prayer and we'll move on. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to have that opportunity to connect with you because of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. We couldn't have done that before. We couldn't have done that. But now, you speak our name softly, lovingly. And we want to just delight in that relationship and build that relationship and share that relationship with others. For those who don't know that sweet sound, no sweeter sound than to hear your name spoken by our Savior Jesus Christ. May it be heard by as many people as possible through our efforts and sharing this Easter and beyond. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.